This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Biden, Ashley Biden, diaries, media malfeasance, FBI malfeasance. It is a lot to deal with tonight on I'm Right. Buckle up. It's a miracle. I mean, it must be Christmas time or something. You're not going to believe this. Joe Biden actually appeared in front of the media to answer questions. It's crazy, I know. The President of the United States of America actually answered a question or two. Now, it was like one question, and he answered it like an idiot. We'll get to that in a second. But Joe Biden, fresh off of COVID diagnosis one, COVID diagnosis two, Jill Biden's COVID diagnosis, then of course he went off on vacation. He's finally back. He's finally back. It's very, very exciting. And that means Joe Biden finally had to answer the question after 12 days, mind you, 12 days, Joe Biden finally had to answer the question. So Joe, the FBI raided Donald Trump's home. Did you know about that, Joe?
How much advance notice did you have of the FBI's plan to search Mar-a-Lago?
I didn't have any advance notice, none, zero, not one single bit.
Okay, that's a lie. Now, I know that's a lie and you know that's a lie, but Kate, maybe you have a skeptical friend and you need to explain something to them why you know that's a lie. Because maybe they're just thinking, wow, well, you're just some right-winger. You don't like Joe Biden, so you say that's a lie. So allow me to explain something. In the government, this actually applies to the military a lot too, but let's just focus on in the government. Say within the FBI. Do you know what's very, very, very difficult to actually get fired? The stories, I have government workers who listen to my show and watch me on I'm Right, and they email me little things about what goes on in the government. You should see how many emails I have from people basically saying there were times where they tried to get fired and couldn't get fired. It's very, very hard to fire one. Your immediate supervisor, it's not like here where I could just get mad and say, you're fired, producer, you're fired. No, man, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to somebody else. But it's not like that in the government. They can put in some bad paperwork for you. You can't lose your job. Unless you get crossways with the regime people. You get crossways with the President of the United States of America, Mr. FBI agent, Mr. Person at the DOJ. It's bye-bye job and bye-bye president, or bye-bye pension. That's just how it works. So what does any of this have to do with Joe Biden, whether or not he knew? If you're at the FBI, let's even say you're a card-carrying communist at the FBI, and chances of that are obviously pretty strong, and you hate Donald Trump, and you want to go after Donald Trump, and you're in charge of a group of 30 men, and you're going to go get a warrant, you're going to go after Donald Trump. You hate him, right? You're also going to know that it's going to be not national news, international news, when you send your agents to kick in the door of the former president of the United States of America. You're going to get approval. You're going to get approval from your boss. Your boss is going to get that, oh my gosh, raid Trump's home, and he's going to go get approval from his boss, and then he's going to go get approval from his boss, and they're all going to keep getting approval from the man on top of them until they get all the way up to the White House. Now, maybe you can argue that Joe Biden personally didn't know because he's just a walking cadaver, and the people who are actually in charge may not have told him. That may be the case, but I guarantee you this on my mortgage. The White House knew and very much signed off on any raid on Donald Trump's home, not even for partisan reasons, for cover your rear end reasons. Oh, they knew. But of course he's gonna lie, because he knows it makes him look terrible. That's why they all came out right off the bat. White House, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer in the wake of that raid. I had no idea there was a raid. Oh, they all knew. They knew. It made them all look bad. That's why they rolled poor Merrick Garland out there. I'm the one who authorized the raid. So he could be the scapegoat for the whole thing. Which, it is funny. It is funny who the administrative state keeps going after. And I'll tell you something else, speaking of what's true and what's not true. The administrative state oftentimes will tell you exactly what is true based on who they go after. Here's what I mean. You ever hear the rumor about this Ashley Biden diary? Look, I admit I never dug into it too deep beyond the Project Veritas stuff. Essentially, this was the story. Rumor was Joe Biden's daughter Ashley had a diary out there. And then I only even found out about this diary because rumor was Project Veritas had possession of it and Project Veritas couldn't confirm some things, so they sat on it. But then the FBI started kicking in their door. Kicking in the door of journalists. And I thought, okay, well, that's interesting, tyrannical, horrific, but okay, not that big a deal. I mean, it is a big deal, but not the end of the world. And I kind of just dismissed the whole Ashley Biden thing. And there's a rumor, again, I haven't seen anything, I don't know any of this. There's a rumor that this diary has Ashley Biden talking about Joe Biden. I know it's a family show, being very, very, very inappropriate with her, her own father being very inappropriate with her. And you've seen all the videos and pictures of Joe Biden and how he conducts himself around young girls. It's really, really ugly. It's really gross. So it wasn't that far-fetched. But again, this is a rumor. I'm not going to sit down here on I'm right and run with this unconfirmed thing. I'm just not. I don't know. I can't see anything. Except today, two people were forced to plead guilty to federal charges when it comes to possession of Ashley Biden's diary. Your diary? A journal? You know anyone who does? How deep do you think the DOJ would dig if your diary was stolen? Neighbor got his hand on your diary. Think they'd send the FBI in there to kick in some doors? Okay. I dismissed all these Ashley Biden, creepy Joe Biden rumors before. I don't think in good conscience I can dismiss them anymore because the DOJ just told me they're probably true. What other reason would you have to send a checka in to just hammer away at some journalist's house and get some people trumped up on charges for possession of a diary unless you were scared about what's in said diary? As far as I'm concerned, it's no longer an internet rumor. But media won't care. Remember, media will ignore this. They'll ignore everything. And it's beyond the media, really. It's the entire communist left. They are on a mission. They are on a mission. They won't be dissuaded by Creepy Joe and his tentacle fingers, by diaries, Look, Sam Harris was very honest about it. He got killed for this thing. I applaud him for saying what all of them think. He doesn't care about Hunter Biden and a national security risk. He doesn't care if Hunter Biden's killing people.
Hunter Biden, at that point, Hunter Biden literally could have had the corpses of children in his basement. I would not have cared. Whatever scope of Joe Biden's corruption is, like if we could just go down that rabbit hole endlessly and understand that he's getting kickbacks from Hunter Biden's deals in Ukraine or wherever else, right, or China, it is infinitesimal compared to the corruption we know Trump is involved in. That doesn't answer the people who say it's still completely unfair to not have looked at the laptop in a timely way and to have shut down the New York Post's Twitter account. Like that's a left-wing conspiracy to deny the presidency to Donald Trump. Absolutely it was. Absolutely, right? But I think it was warranted.
Now, as I've said before, it's one thing for Sam Harris to feel that way. I don't even know who Sam Harris is. I just know a bunch of people kept bringing up his name. My producer wrote down his name here, so that's how I know that's Sam Harris. But it's quite another that the agents who work at the Federal Bureau of Investigation feel the exact same way. Senator Ron Johnson has a new whistleblower from the FBI in his office, and you know what this whistleblower is saying? Quote, this is what he was told by his FBI superiors, you will not look at that Hunter Biden laptop. They're not going to change the outcome of the election again. Again? Maybe you're wondering what they mean by again. What they're meaning by that is Hillary Clinton getting busted because she set up a private email server. Remember, Hillary Clinton set up a private email server so her emails wouldn't be subjected to the Freedom of Information Act requests. Hillary Clinton purposely set something up so she could do criminal things, got in possession of all kinds of things she shouldn't have been in possession on and shouldn't have had on that private server because it allows our hostile foreign actors access to the server. She gets busted with it. James Comey decides he's got to try to thread the needle here. And so what does he do? He gets up and he says, well, yeah, she did something criminal, which we already knew, but we're not going to prosecute. No prosecutor would prosecute. Well, that's ridiculous. Of course they would. You see, I don't care that Sam Harris feels that way, believes openly in a two-tier justice system, Ashley Biden's diary, Hunter Biden's laptop. I do very much care that the people at the Federal Bureau of Investigation apparently feel the exact same way. Did you know they're arresting or they're investigating Border Patrol agents for arresting somebody? Did you know that? If you didn't, here's a little video of what those evil Border Patrol agents did. See anything wrong there? Yeah, neither did I. The system is formally recognized as your enemy now. They recognize you as their enemy now. And that is such a dangerous place to be if our institutions are openly hostile towards us. How are we supposed to deal with something like this? And you know, there was another little story that dropped yesterday too that's a great example of this. You remember COVID. I'm not going to go into all the details on it. COVID, the vaccine, Operation Warp Speed, which is one of the worst pieces of legislation ever signed into law, completely damaging to big taxpayer handout to big pharma and then releasing them of all liability. It was a disaster, right? But it certainly wasn't Donald Trump who did all of that. I mean, he's certainly responsible for a lot of it, no question. We've talked about that before. But as far as lockdowns go, forced vaccinations go, that was virtually all Democrats. Well, the system, they understand that they can only censor the truth for so long. There are truths you can censor and truths you can't. The truth is, if you want to lie about inflation, if you want to lie about what a recession is and change the definition, you can get away with that for a lot of people if you're the Biden administration. You know what you can't get away with? A 40% increase in 18 to 49-year-olds going down with strokes and heart attacks. You know what you can't get away with? A 2, 3, 4, 5-fold increase in lost pregnancies, miscarriages. You cannot get away with the fallout that is coming from everybody lining up to take a shot. You simply cannot. They can't hide that. So what's their plan? Oh, all they needed was a fall guy.
As far as the vaccine, I'm very proud of it. I pushed the FDA like they've never been pushed. They don't like me too much. I'm not so sure I like them. Very bureaucratic. But I got them to approve a great vaccine, three of them, in a period of less than 9 months. I was told by Fauci and everybody else it would take 3 to 5 years and probably five, and it probably won't even happen. And I got it done in less than 9 months.
You watch. They're going to blame the whole thing now on Donald Trump when all this fallout comes, and a huge percentage of this society is going to believe it. And maybe you're sitting there saying, well, Jesse, it is Trump's fault. Look, a lot of it is, yeah. But let's be honest, Trump wasn't the one forcing that thing into people, huh? I think there's plenty of blame to go around, and certainly he deserves a bit of it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Joe Biden's handing out your money. It's illegal. We're going to talk about that next. Before we talk about that, let's talk about your health, because apparently that's going to be in the news quite a bit. Let's talk about your health insurance. You pay health insurance premiums. Who do you pay those to? One of the most evil things out there right now about this government-corporate partnership, it isn't just the government part of it. It's that corporations have joined with the government to push this communist filth on everybody. Now, the worst part of that is you're choosing to pay the corporations. You don't have any choice but to pay your tax money. The corporations, you do have choices. You know you have health insurance choices. One share of health shares your values. It's a faith-based insurance company. Great coverage, great prices, whatever you need, vision, dental. Go to my.onesharehealth.com/Kelly, promo code Jesse Kelly. Go change your health insurance. By the way, that gives you $75 off your enrollment fee. My.onesharehealth.com/Kelly, promo code Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Using the authority Congress granted the Department of Education, we will forgive $10,000 in outstanding federal student loans. In addition, students who come from low-income families, which allowed them to qualify to receive a Pell Grant, will have their debt reduced $20,000.
Yeah, you're mad about that. I'm mad about that. Let's cover a couple things, though. Yes, this is completely illegal. They're using some 2003 law that helped National Guardsmen fight the global war on terror without backbreaking student loans. They're using that as a justification for Joe Biden to just hand out a bunch of cash. But what's actually happening here? Because you've heard it now for 24 hours. You've heard everybody and their brother talk about how this is an attack on the working man. This is a handout to liberal elites, and the working man's going to have to pay for it, and this is ridiculous. Well, understand. Always understand, this is just like the IRS agents. This is like what happens at the FBI. Remember, there are some basic truths that if you simply accept them as true, everything makes sense. Well, we talk about these basic truths all the time, the three characteristics of the people who run the country. I'm not going to do that again right now. We talk about them making you an enemy of the state. Everything they do is with that goal in mind. And another thing you simply have to get. Democrats hate the United States of America. And maybe you're an older Democrat and you're offended by that. I don't care. I'm offended by your crappy vote. JFK's gone. These people are all communists now. They hate the country, despise it. They've been groomed that way. They've been grown that way. Every single outlet they've ever gone to in their entire lives, from college to MSNBC to wherever, has taught them how truly evil and crappy America is. These people hate the country. Okay, so we have that part of it. Well, because of that, when they get elected, they're not worried about America. You, as somebody who is worried about America, you can't relate to that. That doesn't make sense to you. That doesn't make sense to me. So we're constantly left looking at things they do and say, well, that's bad for the country. Like we look at this and we say, oh, we're already struggling with inflation. This is going to bury us. What? Why would they do it? Why would they do it? They don't look at America that way. They look at it as a gigantic evil empire that should be pillaged on its way down. That's how they look at it. It's a big evil bank to them. They just want to get in there and rob it of some cash before they put it up in flames. So when they take power, they don't look at anything through the lens of what's best for America. That's how you would govern. These people don't think in those terms. These people do two things when they are elected, and only two things. Everything they do is one of these two things: rewarding their friends and punishing their enemies. You also don't relate to that because Republicans don't think that way. Republicans in general, most of the DC ones, hate your guts too. They laugh about you behind your back and say they spend all their time apologizing for you to their Democrat friends. Oh, these stupid election deniers, what a bunch of idiots, right guys? Democrats don't do that. They reward their friends, they punish their enemies. You hire 87,000 IRS agents because you want to punish your small business enemies. They're all voting Republican now. You steal from hardworking middle-class workers and give them to rich urban elites when it comes to student loans because middle-class workers despise the Democratic Party. Now, the numbers are overwhelming. They vote Republican. So, of course, you're going to go pillage them and then hand out money to rich urban elites. That's how they think about things. It's hard for you to get that. It's hard for me to get that. But when you understand it, when you finally accept that basic truth, everything you see out there makes sense. And of course it's illegal. I mean, even Grandma Vodka knew it was illegal.
People think that the President of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone, he can delay, but he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
Everyone knows this is going to be a $330 billion bill we don't have any money for, and that's going to make inflation worse. Of course, Joe Biden lied about that, too.
As a consequence, about $50 billion a year will start coming back into the Treasury because of the resumption of debt. Independent experts agree that these actions, taken together, will provide real benefits for families without meaningful effect on inflation.
That's a lie. But let's get to the important thing here. Let's get to the fact we still have a president. Because I, by the way, when I say the important thing, I say that because I believe this is going to get struck down and none of these people are going to get a payback. It's just blatantly illegal. The president, Joe Biden, I'll tell you a little secret you already know. Joe Biden's a jerk. And I don't say that just because he's a Democrat I don't like. He has 30 plus years of videotape of him being a jerk. He's a jerk to everyone. He just always has been. Just a real unpleasant jerk. And what's actually kind of humorous to me, because he's been a jerk for so long, is now he's so ridden with dementia that any other part of him that was inside of him is now gone, and all that's left is the jerk. Look at this glassy-eyed loser when he was asked about this thing yesterday.
Is this unfair to people who paid their student loans or chose not to take out loans?
Is it fair to people who, in fact, do not own multi-billion dollar businesses to see why these guys give them all a tax break? Is that fair? What do you think?
In the end, it's who he is, it's who he always was. But remember what I told you, rewarding their friends, punishing their enemies. You think about the country, it never crosses these people's minds. All right, do voters actually care about any of this stuff? Selena Zito travels the country. She travels the back roads, the Rust Belt swing states, to find what voters care about, left and right. Independents, what are they thinking? What are they talking about? Because they don't care always about the things you and me care about. We'll talk to Selena about that next. Before we do that, $330 billion more dollars when we already have inflation that's on the verge of out of control. Do you think maybe now was a good time to call Oxford Gold Group and get some gold in your hands? And I'm not trying to tell you to buy a piece of paper that says you own gold. Oxford Gold Group will mail gold to your front door, gold coins in your physical possession. And Lord knows we might need them at this point in time. Call 833-995-GOLD and tell Oxford Jesse told you to call. There's no high-pressure sales or anything like that. They're real chill. Look, I sent my own father there. That's how much I love this company. 833-995-GOLD, all right? We'll be back.
I do some grocery shopping. I'm at Wegner's, and my wife wants some vegetables for crudite.
She loves salsa. Yeah, salsa there.
$6? Must be a shortage of salsa. Guys, that's $20 for crudite, and this doesn't include the tequila. I mean, that's outrageous. And we got Joe Biden to thank for this.
If you say you think the word of steelworker, what words come to your mind if you say steelworkers? Of all the words that bring to your mind when you hear the word steelworkers, does the word crudité come to your mind? That's not a word that's going to come to my mind. Crudité.
Joining me now, my friend Selena Zito, obviously author of the great book, The Great Revolt. You can read her writing everywhere. Just go to selenazito.com. Highly recommend you sign up for her newsletter. Selena, okay, so crudité, probably not really in line with Pennsylvania values as somebody who's from that region. The other guy, I can't talk. Exactly what are they doing in Pennsylvania these days?
That's why everyone should go to selenazito.com, because I've been reporting across the state, several thousand miles, driving around with Dr. Oz as he goes around and talks to people in the counties, in particular the counties that will bring home the vote, right? Luzerne County, Erie County, Northampton County, Washington County. And he's been interacting with the voters. He's been out there every day since right after 4th of July. The crudité thing is what I call the very online part of the cycle, right? This is what people who live on Twitter, no offense to people who do, but that is what they're talking about, the sort of the blue checks, the activists. However, that's not something that has sort of penetrated with the voters. Voters are talking about who's talking best about inflation, about crime, which is out of control in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and everywhere in between, and also the impact that the border has in Pennsylvania. Why do you think the border has an impact in Pennsylvania? It's so far from our southern border. The impact is in fentanyl and the skyrocketing overdose and deaths from the influx of the drug across the border. And so these are the things that voters are talking about. Fetterman has tried to make everything sort of about the silly season, about tweeting. He's unable to speak longer than anywhere between 4 to 7 minutes. Both events that I attended in both Erie and there in Pittsburgh, he does not take questions from the press. And he's unable to get out there and listen to voters. Oz, on the other hand, has. Fetterman spends his time tweeting like Trump, you know, just like throwing zingers out all of the time. But the issues are very important right now, and voters are thinking about that and not whether someone said crudité. And by the way, that video, for context, that was made back in April. And it was done as a joke. And of course, you never do a joke because it turns into a campaign video against you. And as Dr. Oz said to me, he goes, that was a bonehead move. So, you know, I think this race is much different than what we are seeing reported 30,000 feet, you know, from people's computer in the Washington Post and New York Times newsrooms.
Okay, Selena, I need you to expand a little bit on Fetterman for me. This is your area, and obviously you're always wired in politically, but a lot of people don't live in Pennsylvania. They don't know this guy. I know he had a stroke. You said he can't talk very long. He doesn't answer questions. What do we know about his physical health? Lord knows we don't need another person who's practically dying while he's in power.
We don't know anything because they've been incredibly... Okay. They have not been transparent at all. All they keep saying is he's in good health and he's doing fine and he's recovering and he's going to win. Those are basically the 4 points that they make. I find it completely frustrating that the sitting lieutenant governor of my state has not released any information about his physical health. But, you know, the reporters in Harrisburg and throughout the state have not pressed on it. I have pressed the campaign on it. I have pressed him personally, and I haven't gotten anything.
Okay. Oz. I've heard all the things against Oz. Not a huge fan personally admitting that, but I've heard about he's this out of state, too snobby, not very Pennsylvania. You've been with Oz. Is he resonating? You said he's out there traveling with people. That alone can earn you a lot of goodwill, just putting a hand in someone else's. Is he resonating? I mean, he's a charismatic dude. He was on TV forever. Everyone knows people on TV are the best.
Actually, he is. You know, I was very skeptical of his candidacy. I was very skeptical of his ability to relate to people. Turns out I was really wrong. And watching him dodging cow pies at the farm show, at on farms or with people in their cities, he just like jumps out of his car and just starts talking to people at unscheduled trips. And people respond to him. People respond to him positively. He was walking around Kensington, Philadelphia, a majority black neighborhood, just popping into barbershops and talking to people on the sidewalk. What I found really compelling is his curiosity. That is a quality that most politicians do not possess, but is a very important quality. Because when you have curiosity about the people that you're meeting and about their lives and about why do they live here, why have they made the choices, that resonates. And it doesn't just resonate with the person that they're talking to. It that story then goes out in sort of like a pebble dropping into water. People pass that experience on to their friends and their community.
Selena, the whole rural versus urban thing is not new in politics, period. Not even just in American politics. Urban has always been a bunch of, you know, viewed as a bunch of degenerate nutballs, and the rural people are a bunch of stupid hicks, and they all hate each other. I get it. I understand the history of it. But it is a problem that is getting worse here in America, as blue becomes bluer in the urban areas and red becomes redder. I know the same dynamic has to be taking place in Pennsylvania, too, correct?
Absolutely. So the city areas of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia have become more blue, more concentrated. However, both regions have seen an exodus of population to the red areas. And when you know, the assumption is, they're going to turn the red areas blue. No, that's not actually what happened. If you look at Pennsylvania in 2020 and 2021 in those election cycles, Republicans, while Donald Trump lost the state, Republicans won massively down ballot. They won statewide race, two out of three of the statewide races. They kept all of the congressional seats that they held. They were expected to lose two and lose two badly. They also held majorities in the state Senate, in the state House. And they not only held them, they won seats they weren't even competing for. And you have to understand, these are races where Republicans had zero money, no money at all. They had Michael Bloomberg and Eric Holder dumping millions of dollars into the state to make the election the opposite. And it didn't budge the voter. I think that's really remarkable. The same for 2021. You saw the state become more red, even in the suburbs of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, in particular in municipal races, but also in school boards. So, you know, while there are a lot of sort of glamorous think pieces written about Fetterman, a lot of reporters think he's unique because his size, he's 6'8", because of his tattoos, because of the fact that he wears Carhartt sweatshirts, or I think they're called hoodies now, and cargo pants, that he is like an economic populist. He is not. But they love writing these pieces. I mean, I have been with Oz all over the state, and I rarely see another reporter out there. In fact, I can't think of seeing any reporter out there but me. And if these stories about Oz aren't getting out of there, if I'm the only one writing them, what does it tell you about coverage? And what does that tell you about my profession? It's very lopsided.
Well, SelenaZito.com, go sign up for her newsletter. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. We're still going to keep talking about Afghanistan because those warriors who died deserve it. There are a lot of people who deserve it. So we're going to talk about that with Air Force PJ next. Before we get to that real quick, let's get to this. I had allergies most of my life. I'm not crying. I'll be fine. But when I was 10, we moved from Ohio to Montana, and there was just something about Montana. Who knows? We didn't do any tests, but there was something in the air. It was terrible. Just my eyes. It was always my eyes. I'd wake up in the morning and have tears coming down my face. Any of this sound familiar? And they followed me all my whole life. So I always had air purifiers. I always took that over-the-counter allergy medication. I don't have allergy medication anymore, over-the-counter or otherwise. Because a while ago, year and a half ago, a buddy of mine told me to go get an Eden Pure Thunderstorm. He had gotten one and put it in his room because his allergies were driving him nuts. The daggone thing was so amazing, I went out and bought two more. It's more than just something that cleans all the odors out of your air, kills the viruses and mold. I threw away my over-the-counter allergy medication. It's quite an endorsement, huh? You can have a three-pack for under $200. They have $200 off a three-pack for my viewers. You have to go to EdenPureDeals.com, though, and use the code Jesse. That'll get you free shipping, too. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. It's a freaking miracle. Go get one. We'll be back.
Terrorists attacked that we've been talking about, worried about, that the intelligence community has assessed, has undertaken an attack by a group known as ISIS-K, took the lives of American service members standing guard at the airport and wounded several others seriously. We have so much to do. It's within our capacity to do it. We just have to remain steadfast. Steadfast. Ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC.
It still steams me. That day still steams me. That freaking that farce right there still steams me. Joining me now, my friend Brian Kimber, known as BK. He hosts a great podcast called World News with BK, former Air Force PJ, super ninja type. BK, man, I'll tell you, that whole Afghanistan thing makes me as mad today as it did back then. And honestly, 13 lives just chucked away. It was so cold. Does that make sense? It was just cold.
Yeah, Jesse, it was cold. It was a tragedy. I know that it could have been handled a lot differently. I don't know why we waited until the last minute like that, but I did sadly predict months before it happened that the Taliban was going to eventually take over the country, and nothing we were able to do is going to stop that from happening. The flights, the pictures we saw coming out of helicopters off the U.S. Embassy, just like in Vietnam, I mean, it was shameful. They could have prepped for this so much better than they did. Start a wind down, negotiate with whoever, but they had this stubborn insistence that the Afghan army was going to be able to hold back the Taliban. We had John Kirby, Pentagon press spokesman, like the day before the actual bombing happened, being like, well, we're not worried, everything's going to plan, and it's just it was a horrible, horrible day.
BK, I was never in Afghanistan. You were. Plus, you know all kinds of stuff about this stuff. Can you explain to people how we could be there for 20 years and as much time as we spent training the Afghan army? How in the world could they collapse that fast? I mean, we had the U.S. military attacking the Taliban for 20 years and propping up these guys. And the second we leave, these guys fall and the Taliban are rocking and rolling. How does that happen?
Yeah, it was a combination of things, Jesse. One of the big ones, of course, is we didn't understand how the culture works over there. And from what I hear from my good friends, The Afghan special forces were very good, and those are the guys doing night after night, raiding every night, and they were good. The problem was the rest of the Afghan army, and you saw interviews as the Taliban was closing in of Afghan commanders who wanted to fight, but they didn't have the ammunition to do it. Some of these guys weren't even able to get enough food for the day or water. So all this money, it's this oldest story in the book, all this money, the billions and billions of dollars United States taxpayer paid for reconstruction, to pay for this local armed force to take control of the city, it just went into the black hole. Afghanistan was extremely corrupt, of course, and these guys basically took this money and ran. I mean, hell, Ashraf Ghani, the prime minister of the country, he fled, and there were rumors about tens of millions of dollars on the helicopter he took off in, but who knows? We'll never know. But it's really sad. It was a corrupt state, and in 20 years, Jesse, you're right, we could have had two generations of trained fighters by then. Instead, we had people giving up without a shot fired.
BK, Joe Biden, Kirby, Milley, Austin, I mean, take your pick. Nobody took any responsibility for it. And honestly, that was maybe the most frustrating part of this whole thing. Not one person resigned. I know you know all this stuff, the history of the military, not just America's, but others. When something terrible happens, even if it wasn't his fault, a commander resigns. Shoot, they used to kill him in places like Rome and others. Yet not one American commander felt it was necessary to resign in disgrace with this.
Unbelievable. The Afghanistan papers came out, Jesse. Kudos to the Washington Post. They did a great job, and it just showed 20 years of futility. It showed 20 years of Afghanistan commanders from America misleading their successors, often saying, no, everything's fine, everything looks good, because they want to get promoted. At the end of the day, it was all about promotion. And many of these men now have gone on to lucrative private sector gigs. They have their pensions worth over six figures a year. And no, you're right. The thing that kills me is none of them even seem like apologetic about it. You see them, Jesse. They're all on Twitter now screaming about Trump or whatever, trying to get likes like some teenage TikToker. And it's just nauseating for me to watch. Like, how about you stand up and say, you know what, we screwed up, and I take a whole lot of blame for that. Because, Jesse, as you know, it wasn't the battles, the individual battles, the U.S. and the Taliban. Yeah. We would smoke these guys every chance we got, and it wasn't even close. But there was no political will, and we didn't understand what we were up against. We didn't understand the tribalism. We didn't understand the basic players of it. And it all led to that terrible day 1 year ago.
BK, that's the second time you've said this, and you and I've had this talk on the radio 1,000 times. They didn't understand. They didn't understand. Why don't they understand, brother? I mean, I live here in Texas now. I've been here about 5 years. Guess what? I get it. I know where the restaurants are. I know where I have to go get my hair cut. It doesn't take that long to understand an area. We're there for 20 years. They didn't understand. Why don't they understand?
You know, I battle with myself to answer that question. Some of it's like not politically correct, because you have to look at these trainers, the guys who are the NCOs, the non-commissioned officers, the guys actually on the ground training these fighters. Any one of them will tell you, like, you would teach them, you go down the numbers, here's how to react to contact, here's how to clean and load your weapon. And then when you turn your back, or the trainer turns his back, they just go back to doing things the way they've always done them. And also part of it is they didn't want us there at all, meddling in their affair. Just, it's pretty unbelievable to me that we had, near the end of it, they can't even fix their own aircraft. I'm like, dude, it's been 20 years. We can take some 19-year-old from Arkansas who can barely read, and in a year, we can train him to work on the most sophisticated aircraft the United States has. We had 20 years to do that, Jesse, and that these guys are telling, well, we don't have any mechanics to fix our Air Force that we also provided. That's inexcusable. And how can you do that? 20 years, billions of dollars? Unacceptable.
BK, podcast is World News with BK. Thank you, my brother.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. We have a light in the mood next. Some somber news in the light in the mood, but we have a light in the mood next. Now, I know everyone's worried about everything going on right now. Me too. I do the same thing you do. I wake up in the morning, I look at my phone, and I'm freaking horrified. I get it. All I can tell you is this. What I have done, what I've taken to do, especially for the last couple of years, to make me feel better, is worry about myself. I don't mean that as selfish as it sounds. I can't control the world, Joe Biden, international Congress. I can't. You can't. It's out of our power. I can make sure I have ammunition.
I can make sure I have access to clean water. I can make sure I'm getting physically healthier. I'm working out more now. I can make sure if disaster strikes, my family can eat. My Patriot Supply, what they do, and they've been doing it a long time, is they provide emergency 3-month food kits. You need one of these for everyone in your house. If you live alone, just get one, but you should have 3 months of food. And look, you don't have to think. They have it already ready for you. 2,000 calories a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, drinks. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com because they've partnered with us and you get $250 off your 3-month supply. Preparewithjessekelly.com, all right? We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And I know, look, we're a year away. I try to tell everybody, we're probably 6 months away at least from putting together another bipartisan hottest women of Congress list. I know people are waiting with bated breath, and I want you to know me, my entire staff, we're already doing the necessary research. But it's not coming anytime soon, okay? You're gonna have to be patient. We have to wait for this new crop to come in. But remember, the research is ongoing. You don't just wake up one day and decide to put together an important list like that. It's a year-round process. So I want to give you an update on one we were talking about recently. And I mean, it's a sad update, but look, it's my job to bring you the important news. Before we get to that, let's get to this. I got an email yesterday from a 61-year-old man named Richard. And he thanked me for telling him about chalk. Said he's 61 years old, has more energy than he has in years, said he's losing belly fat. Why? Is he taking chemicals or medicine? Did he go to Big Pharma? Nope. All natural herbal supplements. Natural herbal supplements from a hardcore anti-communist company. That sound like a good deal? Go get a male vitality stack from Chalk, fellas. Male vitality stack. Ladies, they have a female vitality stack. Same thing. You want to be sharp, sleep better, more focused. Natural supplements. Remember that. Go to chok.com, promo code Jesse. Get you 30% off the entire store. How about less belly fat and more energy? Sound good? chok.com, promo code Jesse. All right. Now, you remember, we talked, I believe this was last week on the show, Sarah Kleehood is some card-carrying communist scumbag running for Congress in New York in the primary. And what I said, because I'm nice, was, look, obviously not a top fiver, there's just too many heavy hitters out there, but this woman's going to be on the top 10 list, I think, next year. Again, the research is always ongoing. I owe it to you to put in a hard day's work. We said she's going to be in the top 10. Well, sorry, this is hard for me. She lost. She lost in a primary. By less than 1,000 votes, she lost. And that's not even the worst part. We had a top 10 contender for the hottest women of Congress list. And you know who she lost to? A man named Francis. The dude's name is Francis, and she lost to him. I don't know what these voters are thinking. It's time for New York voters to start making what's really important, really important. Looks. Francis. Gosh. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.